Email todayradio@rte.ie.
Now, working on board the world's largest passenger ship is stuff we can all but dream of. But being on board during a COVID-19 lockdown and not being allowed to leave your small cabin is the stuff nightmares are made of. Peter Smith was a former crew member on board the Symphony of the Seas when lockdown hit, and he faced nearly a month confined to his cabin while docked off the coast of Miami. I'm joined on the line now by Peter to tell us about his experience, and thank you very much for joining us this morning. You might just tell me first, Peter, how did you end up on the boat?
Hi, Sarah. So I graduated college about a year and a half ago and then decided I would just go traveling for a bit, kind of do the usual stuff. And so I found a job working with kids on board back in the October 2019, applied for it, got the interview, got the job. And then by December, I was on the ship working away.
So you were planning, I think, to be working until May, which obviously didn't work out. You spent Christmas on board. When did you start getting first indications, or when did you start hearing that the coronavirus was becoming a problem?
Well, obviously, the first case in China came out kind of around Christmas time, so that was the first indication. But the big warning was in Asia, when the boat started catching it there, and there was passengers and crew stuck on board for weeks. And we were assured, though, by the company that it wasn't going to come in our end, that we were going to keep running as usual. And I kind of, at that stage, there wasn't a lot of cases around the US, and Ireland was still kind of open. It hadn't gone into lockdown yet, but around then, that was kind of when things started getting a bit weary.
So when you heard about those cruise ships in around Asia and people getting locked down on board, were you worried?
A small bit, but like I said, at that time, it just seemed like something that was kind of far away, something that was in a different part of the world. Mm. We had already measures in place in the company to kind of protect people. So people coming from that, from China and stuff in that region, weren't allowed on the ship. A lot of cruise companies were taking the same kind of rules. We're being very careful with stuff. And it just seemed like, you know, it was another kind of thing that if we just kept our working, kept away, it would kind of stay to its end.
So then when did it come to be a reality for you guys on board? When did the first measures start to take place to restrict your movements?
So it was on the 13th of March when Royal Caribbean announced that it's got its no sail. We'll be not sailing for 30 days. So on the 14th of March, we dropped all passengers off in Miami, and we were told we're not allowed off, which is the first time ever we pulled into port and I was told I couldn't get off the ship. So that was kind of our first warning signs. We were told that we'd be on the ship for a while they sort things out, and then they get back up running in 30 days.
And how did that feel, Peter? Because I can only imagine it's a pretty daunting or horrible feeling to be told you're not allowed to get off a boat, especially when you're seeing all the passengers walking down the gangway and getting off.
Yeah. It was unexpected. So I think we were all a bit freaked out by it. But also we were kind of hopeful because at that stage they weren't letting anyone on our ship, and there had been no reported cases on the board. None of the passengers had any reported symptoms. So we thought maybe if we stayed on the ship, we could actually be quite safe there.
And how long was it before you heard there was a case on board?
It was exactly 2 weeks since someone had gotten on, since all the passengers had left. So day 14, it was announced over the Tannoy system of the ship by the captain that we had a positive case and that the ship would be going into lockdown.
What did you think when you heard that?
Well, I'd heard about some of the other ships that had similar things, so I kind of knew what was coming. I remember I rang my parents straight away just to let them know that it was happening in case they heard about it, and that I was fine, I was healthy, and that I would just be, you know, taking these measures just to be safe and just be healthy.
And up to that point, until you found out that there was a case on board, had all of the staff been allowed to circulate freely and do what you wanted on the ship?
Yes, yeah. So we had some measures to kind of help infectious control, like because we all eat together and stuff and we work in very close quarters. We do try to be careful, but it is difficult when you have 2,000 crew, you know, walking around, eating in a small area and stuff.
So when the first case was discovered on board, what happened in terms of the lockdown?
So that next day we were all moved into new cabins because I share a cabin with someone, but they all wanted it separately. So we moved into the guest cabins, put into our room and told that we would be there for 2 weeks. and that we weren't allowed to leave the room for 2 weeks.
Not for a walk, not for a little bit of exercise, for some fresh air?
No, nothing. I did have a balcony so I could go out there, but no, I wasn't allowed out of that room. At that stage, it was only supposed to be 2 weeks.
What did you do all day, every day?
Not a lot, to be honest. I tried to be productive, but sometimes, like, after the 2 weeks, when we realised it was going to be longer and the cases were spreading on board, kind of my motivation did dwindle a lot. So I definitely couldn't have done it if it wasn't for the other crew on board, talking to them over the phone and stuff like that, and keeping ourselves kind of occupied in that way.
Sorry, when you say that after the 2 weeks, so you, the first case of coronavirus was discovered on board, you were told you're in your room now for 2 weeks, but it was longer than that?
Yes. So after the 2 weeks, it was announced that we'd be stuck in our rooms for longer. It was kind of extended on a day-to-day basis at that stage, due to kind of more cases and to stop the spread there. So we weren't sure how many cases, but we knew there was a few because we could see people get evacuated by lifeboats at our windows, and we could see nurses coming on and stuff like that. But so I can't tell you exactly how many cases. But
and were you hearing whether or not any crew members were getting seriously sick?
Yeah, they did make one announcement. The crew member who originally got sick did end up dying, unfortunately. So that was kind of a hard day when we found that out.
So you're locked in your cabin and you're hearing that one of your fellow crew members has died, and you know this virus is on board and you can't get away from it. Must have been terrifying.
Yeah, it was, especially because it seems like a lot of the virus could have been spreading around the people who were kind of serving us our food every day. Because I wasn't allowed to leave the room, someone had to come to my room and drop food out and drop water out. And we were hearing rumours that they're the ones getting sick. So, you know, people handling our food and stuff, it wasn't really the best feeling thinking that they could be the ones catching the virus.
And how was your head during all this?
My head wasn't too bad most of the time. I did have my bad days where I didn't leave my bed, didn't open my curtains, just lay in bed most of the day. And it was kind of based on the fear of the virus, but also mainly just the fear of, like, not knowing when I was going to get home and the uncertainty of it all. We constantly heard about flights that we were potentially getting on. We'd be pulling to Miami, told to pack our bags, and then in a few hours told that it's been cancelled, that we were banned from flying by the Centre of Disease Control and stuff like that.
So your hope would be raised, and then it would be dashed, and then it would be raised and dashed again. And yeah. How about other crew members then? How did they cope with it, apart from their physical health, their mental health?
Yeah, I think mental health has definitely been a big issue these past few weeks for crew members on board ships. Like, coronavirus was very serious on the ships originally, but a lot of the ships have managed to contain it now at this stage. But unfortunately, a lot of the governments and a lot of the ships and stuff haven't been very quick in getting some of their crew home. There's still upwards, like, close to nearly 100,000 crew stuck at sea around the world right now. And in the past month alone, six have died unexpectedly and not from coronavirus.
Right. How long were you locked in the room in total, Peter?
I spent 26 days completely in the room. And then after that, I was allowed out for 2.5 hours to walk around and kind of stretch my legs.
And were you talking to your family during all this?
Yes. I did have my phone, so I was able to call them, you know, every day and stuff, talk to them for a bit.
And what were they saying to you? Because obviously this was also spreading here in Ireland at that stage, and everybody, I think, was very scared.
Yeah, they were worried, obviously. I tried to keep them kind of positive, talk to them a lot. I ended up spending a lot of time talking to my grandmother because she was cocooning also, so we were kind of in a very similar situation. So I spoke to her probably every day.
When you were finally allowed out then, how did you get home, or was it difficult to get home?
Yeah, so the process was very tricky. Like I said, we were constantly being told we had plans, packing our bags, told that wasn't happening. This was happening for weeks. And then I got a call from my friends on board, my British friends, who were told that they were all on a flight organised on the 18th of May, and unfortunately I wasn't on the flight because I wasn't a British citizen, I was Irish, and we would be sailing home on a separate ship in a few weeks' time to Southampton. So I was kind of worried about that. At that stage I reached out, well, my family had reached out to Deputy Matt Shanahan, a local TD, and he was very, very helpful, and he spoke to Ambassador Dan Mulhall also, and they, I think, pulled a few strings, spoke to the British consulate and stuff, and then a few days later, next thing I know, I was being rushed off the boat. put on a coach, police escorted straight onto the runway and walked from the boat, bus straight onto the fly, and off I was back home.
So you got home when?
The 20th, I arrived back in Ireland, but the flight left the 18th. It took a while to like fly, and then I put up in a private hotel in the UK for a night. And then we took the ferry actually across from Holyhead to Dublin. So I had to get on a boat again, which wasn't the best feeling ever.
Do you think you will go on a boat again or voluntarily?
Right now, that's definitely not in my foresight. Right now, I'm just looking forward to finishing my self-isolation and giving my mom a hug and stuff. But I can't see myself going on any boat anytime soon.
All right. Well, Peter Smith, thank you very much for joining us, and indeed, welcome home.